It's the Tiltcast episode 600. Understand, brother.
And this week, guys, we talk MechWarrior 5 Clans, Diablo 4 Vessel of Hatred, and Quasimorph. Stay tuned.
I cannot use contractions, brother. Oh, God.
We at this now. We are at this. It is it's the Tiltcast. We're an M-rated show. I'm Nas.
I'm Jason.
I'm Rust.
And with the three of us, you're at about 30 minutes of bullshit.
Bullshit.
Some games, some news. Jason, it's almost 78 outside. What is your wife doing?
Airing out the house, cleaning, you know, stuff like that.
Maybe she should do that when it's in the 60s and not almost 80.
It was in the 40s this morning, so that was just a decision she made.
At like 6.
I told her since I have to close our bedroom door to record so that y'all don't hear every little thing my kids do. I was turning the AC on because I have for the last 3 days as I'm playing Battletech or MechWarrior. Let me tell you something, and I'll get more into the actual gameplay in a bit.
You're role-playing being a MechWarrior.
I am role-playing being a MechWarrior. I have been managing fucking heat in my room because whatever reason... Even though my...
You need some tank seeks.
Even though my temperatures aren't bad,
it's just,
you know, my CPU is sitting around 40°C. My GPU's not really going above 55°C. Or I'm sorry, my CPU's 70°C, sorry. Still, I mean, like, that's not bad. It's just, for whatever reason, it is constantly pushing the heat out. Like,
yeah, that's a median heat of 140 degrees, Jason.
Yeah. So I've been, I have been heat managing my environment as I'm playing a MechWarrior who's supposed to be managing their own heat.
You've been, you get some heat sinks on those nuts.
Damn.
Dude.
Damn.
Dude.
The, my ass over here turns on the heat in the morning till it gets over, so I turn it up to like 72, right? And then it starts feeling uncomfortable, and I flip the heater off, and then I kick the AC on. And I've been doing that because it was, you know, fall weather last week. And this week, it is not fall weather. This week, it is mild. It is summer in Colorado is what it is right now. Right? So high of 78 today, high of 81 tomorrow, high 82 Monday, right? High of 88 on Tuesday. Yeah, it doesn't go out to Halloween yet, but like none of the highs are under 75 yet. In fact, today is the coldest day, a high of 78.
Damn.
So it is not quite fall weather. We can act like it's fall, but it's not fall weather.
It's spring weather.
This is like
7 degrees, man.
This is like mid April.
Technically, this is Oklahoma fall weather.
Technically. Because Oklahoma fall is
because
like 3 days.
We don't really get a fall. We get fall temperatures for like maybe a week, and then we're straight into winter. That, or it just stays spring temperatures the entire fucking winter.
No, you have to have the cold, windy day. There's always a cold, windy day.
We had 2 weeks of winter temperatures last year, Rusty.
Two weeks is good.
Like,
2 weeks is about average.
It did not last.
And have like a 75 degree Christmas. People wonder why I wear shorts so much. Like, fuck, man. It never gets below like 60 degrees here.
When you never leave the house.
Like, well, that changes actually.
Yeah.
Yeah, starting next week, I do no longer work from home.
Oh, boy.
I work from a building again, which I am excited to lose 2 hours of my life every day.
Mm-hmm. I know, I understand. I'm like, I lose at least that just going to work. Dealing with commutes, man. It sucks.
Yeah,
it is true.
You get really, if for almost 5 years I've worked from this house. It's been glorious. You don't have to go to work that early, right? You can wake up 30 minutes before work, take a shower, get some coffee or an energy drink, go to work. And then when you're off work, you just turn around, walk to the kitchen and start dinner or walk your dog or whatever you want to do.
You save so much time.
You really do. All those little bullshit chores you got to do.
Mm-hmm.
Throw laundry in, and before you start work, you pick up your, you throw the laundry from the washer to the dryer at lunch or on break or whatever you want to do. Right? I kind of take breaks. I'm supposed to take, I don't know, I don't really have breaks per se.
Yeah.
Not hourly, but like, I'll have gaps between meetings, so when I have a gap, like run over there and change the laundry and come back and do something that's not a meeting. And easy peasy, right? Fold it all as soon as I get off work. So, like, I'm going to miss all of that.
You do the random stand-up check just to make sure that you're actually wearing pants?
No. No, everybody wears sweats or shorts that works from home. Like, there's some random people, right? Even, like, we did that as a joke one day in one of our meetings for all the work-at-home people. I'm wearing, like, camo shorts and a fucking blazer. I was wearing the blazer because it was an important meeting, and then the VP wanted to be funny. It's like, all right, so hopefully you guys are all wearing pants. Can you stand up? I'm just curious. There I am wearing camo shorts. And, everybody's wearing pants, but everybody's wearing, like, sweatpants, camo shorts. There's, like, one guy wearing jeans. But yeah, we were all like, it's like, interesting. I was like, yeah. I was like, I don't have to wear this blazer all day, dude. Like, it's so hot in here. I have the AC turned down to 62 so I can wear this stupid thing. But yeah, I am going to make a point of not wearing one of those as much as possible while I'm at work. Because fuck that shit.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm lucky. I mean, as long as I'm comfortable, there really isn't a dress code per se. So
my dress code's not severe. Like, nobody I work for is in this or work with is in the building that I'm going to be in. It's jeans and a nice shirt. That's the dress code. Jeans and a nice shirt is what they want. I can wear sneakers. I can't wear my toe shoes, which is what I would normally wear. In fact, I only own one pair of sneakers. I'm probably going to wear my nicer loafers with my fucking jeans and look like a big old goofball. But yeah, it's not excited, but we'll make it through this.
I wonder why.
Not excited. There's a handful of people who are just like, we had the opportunity to come in on Monday. And then the equipment on site was not ready. So they're saying Wednesday now. And they're like, you can come in Monday with your laptop if you really want to. And of course, there is the one person that's like, sign me up. I want to be around people. And then there's me who hates people. He's just like, yeah, I'm cool. I'll get done with, all the work that I won't be getting done while I've got people pretending to be interested in my job for some reason. I'm not a mean person at work. I'm just like, inside, I'm annoyed as hell that you're at my desk right now because I could be getting something done.
I mean, I understand that. I somewhat deal with that all the time.
Yeah. I mean, my work buddies, like, you guys were work buddies, but are like literally the only friends I have from work, because I've worked there for almost 16 years,
mm-hmm.
that are like real friends, like everybody else is an acquaintance, right? You got to make small talk, talk about football or something that I don't give a shit about. Go check scores every day so you know what the hell people are talking about.
Yeah.
And I can pretend to be human. So I can get back home and be myself again. Yeah. Don't.
You're right.
Don't like working around people.
That's why when I went to college, they're like, what's your aspirations? What do you want to do? You know,
not work with people.
I want a job in which they I go into a closet, make a paycheck, and people never touch, never even know that I exist.
So you want to be the guy with the stapler?
I don't. I mean, yes. Yes, I believe you have a stapler.
Be yes, Milton. Yeah. Obscure joke, unless you're our age.
Really obscure joke.
Red swing line stapler.
Yeah. Yes.
Mumbles. Yes. In fact, I found a red swing line stapler in the closet at work, and I was like, "Yeah, this is perfect. This you can't."
I'd put it up on my desk if I found one.
That's amazing.
That is amazing.
Yeah, but yeah.
Dude, work. Yeah, I actually did something interesting. So, like, last weekend, I had been hired by a venue in Tulsa here to take some photos of a... This is kind of funny because it's not really my genre, but there is a satanic black metal band called Dark Funeral, and I'd been signed to take photos of that entire show.
Damn.
And when I got there... the tour manager wanted no professional photographers, so I got cock-blocked pretty hard. But I could take pictures of the opening act. Well, the opening act was somebody I knew. He was the one that got me into the venue to begin with and gave my name to the person that was running the venue. And I walked back there and talked to him, and I was like, hey, so they're saying I can't take anything except for the first band. And he's like, yeah. He's like, I don't know about the other two bands. I was like, just give me a minute. Let me see what I can do. And of course, like, I'm decked out in photo gear. I've got $10,000 in lenses around my neck. So I walk over to one of the other bands who I've never heard of before, right? And thankfully, the guy selling merch was the guy that led the band. And that was lucky as hell. He's like, hey, do you guys have a photographer? He's like, no. I was like, well, I'd like to take some pictures tonight. Would you be okay with that? He's like, yeah. He's like, go for it. It's like, he kind of looked at me and he's like, well, what's the holdup? And I was like, been told by Dark Funeral's tour manager that I can't take pictures of you guys or anybody else. He's like, give me a minute. And he walks back there and he comes back a few minutes later. He's like, okay, so you can't take pictures of them. He's like, it's just something in a contract. So you can take pictures all the way up to us. It's like, cool. So we introduced each other. He gave me his phone number for me to text him stuff. I was like, I don't need this personal information. But you know, he's really, really nice guy. Then talk some music with him or whatever. So I take pictures all the way up to them. And then the, guy up at the door guy was like, hey, you really got to take that camera. I don't want my ass chewed. I was like, yeah, I got you. So I ran the half mile back to my car, just not fun, and put my stuff and then walked back in. And then, so I got paid by the venue. Because I got everybody but them. They gave me less because I didn't get Dark Funeral, which is fine. I wanted to have that on my portfolio, like took pictures of a band with almost 1 million followers, right?
Right.
But the band that I talked to and the guy that I had the phone number for just celebrated 50 million streams. They're not doing bad either. So, yeah, they posted some of my pictures on their Instagram, and I've started to get... Like, if you have a photo page or whatever, right? Like a page that's not a personal page, you'll start to see traffics, you know, from different people. and like just them posting that and then crediting me, and then they link to my photo page on Facebook from Instagram. I got like 5,000 people looked at my page like over the last couple of days.
That's amazing.
Which is crazy. And the pictures that I got on their page have like 20,000 likes, which is crazy. So that was really good for me. And I wrote that guy like a big thank you note. He's like, yeah, you're welcome. And then he shot me $100. I was like, okay, well, that's cherry on top. I'll take it.
Yeah.
So, you know, I charge more than that, but that actually is way more beneficial than $100. I didn't need the money if I can get the photo traffic like that. Like, I would have done Dart Funeral for free if I could get the photo traffic from him.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah. So, that was really interesting. And just like the other week, me having – I'll be taking pictures in a place called The Factory in Dallas, where I've seen Hai Lung and Meshuggah here in about 6 weeks. So, also pretty excited about that. I'm intentionally kind of leaving the names of the groups out because, well, I don't want you – I don't want to run into random people from the podcast while I'm out taking photos and just being honest. I don't want to be distracted. But, yeah. So, it's been an interesting week. And, of course, we've all been playing some games. I think I gave you some footage, Jason. I don't – Rusty, did you give him any footage?
I've got some recorded of my time with Diablo, and I need to do a little bit more. But yeah,
yeah. You been doing anything interesting? Like, hopefully not sweating your nuts out, manually sinking your heat in your bedroom.
Me? Me interesting?
Oh, I mean, you've been making pasties today or patsies?
I was
or
making pasties, not pat. McPasties. McPasties.
Pasties, not pasties. Though I imagine for Rusty, it about fits like a pasty if you were to try.
Oof. No. No, I think I've talked about pasties on the channel before, but yeah, every third Saturday is pasty day. Sorry, I got something stuck in my throat, and this is not even cool.
I feel like you're always cooking something for your brothers.
Brothers. Yes, brother. May I have some oats, brother? But yeah. Yeah, I am actually cooking a lot for the lodge. It's one of the things that I feel like I'm good at. So in fact, I got another cook task just recently. They said, hey, we need you to cook spaghetti sauce. So I get to cook spaghetti for 100 people. That was great.
But not envious.
Huh?
Not envious.
Oh, dude, it's gonna be fantastic. I'm gonna have all the fun. Because that is it's a community thing too. So, like, for the longest time, the Masonic Lodge here in my little hometown used to do community meals and stuff like that. And because membership has gone as kind of shit recently. I have been asked to kind of revive some of this. So, it's a thing. Like, I'm bringing back something that hasn't been done in, since, the 90s, because, a lot of the the older folks aged out. So, and by aging out, you're a Mason for life. So
what you're saying is, you are no longer cooking for our benefit.
Now you'll be cooking for
an entire freaking community.
Yeah, well, you know, what happened was, is somebody out there said, somebody out there got the bright idea to tell somebody else that I know how to cook. And that, that go, I'm in a small town. That shit gets around quick. So there I am. I'm going to be, the spaghetti master. The spaghetti master. Noodle maestro. You got any more fun terms to go with? I'm fresh out. Oh shit!
The sauce man.
The sauce boss. Oh,
sauce boss.
But yeah, that's kind of my thing. You know, I'm down to one last check mark on my thingamabob, on my bariatric journey. So that's great. I get to talk to a dietitian and tell the dietitian gets to tell me how I've fucked up my eating habits over the years. As soon as I get done with that, then I go on to the scheduling step, which is it's the thing that I've been kind of waiting for. Oh fuck!
What's that noise?
What's that noise? What's in the background?
Sounds like static.
No, that is me hitting buttons as hard as possible because. While I'm talking to you.
No, it really does sound like... Do you hear that, Jason?
No, I don't hear it.
I swear. It's just me hitting keys because I was drug into a fucking raid at that exact moment, which had a lot of extra mechanics in it. And so I'm trying to keep a conversation going while trying not to die. Because I don't. And yeah, so there's one last thing, I guess not last thing, but another thing that I got to, get to check off my, my list here is, I was been talking about getting, bariatrics. All right. So I am ready to, do the nutritionist, setup. I have a meeting with the nutritionist, Monday. And after that, that's my last check mark. That's the last thing I need to do before I can get into scheduling. So, I don't know, man. It's I'm looking to be thinner.
I'm doing not the same. I'm working out harder than ever, trying to get past this fucking hump. That's what I was like. You're like, I'll be ready to start soonish. I was like, I'm going to go walk the dog, which really means like walk 2 miles with Lola. Trying to, well, it wears her out, right? Which is a good thing. And then it's a daily exercise for me besides working out.
Well, I'm also probably going to be doing something more structured as far as, working out. I haven't really had a workout plan or anything that was super, super structured. But as soon as I'm healed from the surgery, I'm going to be, starting up on doing that. One of the planned activities I'll be doing is Nordic hiking. Yeah, I think I talked about this a little bit. I don't remember who I tell this shit to. So if I'm repeating myself from last time, I'm sorry. But Nordic hiking is the hiking around with ski poles. I got my ski poles in.
Ski poles? So you can what, like ski across, like cross country skiing? The Great Michigan Mountains.
It helps you in uneven terrain to hike without, hopefully without hurting yourself, because you have the ski poles as an extra anchor to the ground to steady yourself as you're climbing up and down hills and shit like that.
You don't have to climb anything Nordic hiking. You can just, it's basically just cross country walking. Whereas it's, kind of like cross country skiing, but instead of skiing, you're walking.
Right, but the implication of cross country is that you're generally in
uneven ground.
And uneven ground and shit.
Yeah. Going up slopes and stuff like that. Yeah, but it's the idea is to mainly engage your upper body and your core while you're walking, and using the poles actually does engage your arms more often than just walking along with your arms at your side, I suppose. But yeah, it's a thing. That's one of the things that I'll be doing. And you probably get to laugh out of this, but I'm going to look into yoga. I have not been flexible ever. And
I did it for a little while. I did it for a little while.
Yoga?
Yeah. I can touch the ground flat-handed.
I have never been able to do that.
Here.
You're gonna show me up on the camera. Oh my god. If that happened to me,
I can almost touch my wrist to the ground.
Oh my gosh.
It's also he can have kinkier sex. That's all reason.
Well, he did it. I mean, that's one of the reasons.
Now, there is one stupid fact about me. My torso grew, my legs did not. So I have short legs, and that is definitely a benefit. My legs are easily about 4 inches too short, right?
Okay.
So well, I have a torso of somebody that's about 6'1", and I'm only 5'8".
So you're basically just
a dwarf.
Got it.
I couldn't do that when I was fatter, though.
I'm really looking forward to to being basically a good portion less of myself after all this is done. And I figure the next best thing for me would be to become much more flexible.
So it just helps with just general comfort. So like every morning I do that, like just stretch all the way out. Mm-hmm. And it just stretches out my lower back. Like I don't really have any issues per se, but I get a little bit stiff, right? Sleep on my side, like I'm pretty active through the day. And every morning when I do that, I just stretch out like that and it helps out.
Yeah, and that's amazing. And it's something that I just wish that I could do. I have never been able.
A whole lot of downward dog there. So yeah. I did that for about a year and I just got sick of it. Man, the videos are so corny. Like there was a free one on Amazon Prime that I was following during the pandemic. And that's what I did. Like every day, I just went through the whole video series until like I got a little bit more flexible. I'd probably do more of it, but then I was like, John from Picking Up the Pixels and formerly Carousel, like I've known John for 22 years, maybe longer. I've known him since I was 18. So 24 years. Anyways, he was trying to get rid of shit out of his house. And he's like, I don't want this Bowflex anymore. He's like, I'm going to throw it away. I was like, let me have it. He's like, you can have it. I was like, help me get it home. So I just started using that. I was like, why am I just letting that collect dust? And so I use the Bowflex 4 out of 7 days a week.
Yeah.
And I hate it every time, but it is definitely making me stronger. Like yeah. I was, not bragging, right. But like, it's an accomplishment for me. Like, I had call center arms for a long time, right? I think we all know what that is.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, Earl, who's been on the show years past, is actually the one that coined that term, or the first person I ever heard that from. He's like, can I get little T-Rex arms working in a call center? Yes. But yeah, I had call center arms for a while. And so I first started, and the sad thing was, is I could curl about with both arms together about 50 pounds. And I was like, this is dumb, right? Like, this is dumb. I have lost so much upper body strength. So I'm happy to say I do curls twice a week. I can curl 120 pounds now. So that feels pretty good. And then I started off, my bench wasn't bad, but I was only benching like, what was I benching? I think it's benching 120 pounds. I'm up to 180 now. So, like, that's over the last couple of years. Like, I don't get super crazy with it. I don't take creatine. Like, I'm on a pretty high protein diet anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't do the protein powder or any of that other stuff. I don't do the thing where you're supposed to, like, push yourself past your limit once a month and, like, crash out. I don't go that crazy. It's enough that I actually do it four times a week.
Well, that's four times more than I do.
yeah. So, like, you know, it does work
out. Some structure
It doesn't happen overnight. I'll say that much. Like, it has taken me 2 years to get into any kind of rhythm, and I haven't been hardcore like Navy SEALing it either. So, like, I'm slowly getting results, right? But, like, I'm healthier than I was when I was 21. When I was 21, I don't know, 280 pounds. So, at 5'8", pretty heavy.
Yeah.
Oh, I've been doing similar. Like, I've been starting to, the building my company's in has a full gym with like a, walking path that basically you're circling one of the towers, right? And you walk it seven times, you hit a mile, et cetera. But they also have a lot of weight equipment. Treadmills, stuff like that. So I've been just eating lunch at my desk and then using my lunch to go walk a mile and a half and then, you know, curl some weights, do some rowing. Not, you know, not super intense, but Doc says I need to lose like 30 pounds. So
yeah, it just,
I'm trying to get there.
I don't know if it's the perfect guide. I don't have a trainer or anything like that, right? I found a Bowflex, like, exercise list that was 12 different Bowflex exercises for upper body. Yes, I do skip leg day. You can only put up to 230 pounds on this thing. So it's like, it's not enough weight to mess with my legs, really. And I don't want to do like 75 repetitions per set. So I walk, right? Not really looking for the perfect butt anyway. It's like just six that you can do at a time, right? That work one set of muscles for pushing. And then the other six are, you know, for working pulling motions. They're all pulling motions, right? Pull downs, curls, wrist curls, you know, pull downs, right? So I do like I can pull the max weight with forward, right? Or push it forward. And then I can pull it the same way. And then I've gotten myself to where I can start to do chin ups, which, like, I'm still overweight, right? So I'm doing a chin up at over 200 pounds. And that's been something I haven't been able to do since I was in high school, to be honest with you. And I weighed quite a bit less in high school. I was not a chunky kid. So I've
never been able to do a successful chin up. That's the crazy thing. I've never been able to do it.
Yeah. So this is the downside of liking inside activities is you start to get fat.
Mm-hmm.
But speaking of getting fat and being happy,
plus the fact that we don't work physical jobs.
Oh no,
no.
Like that was part of the reason I was even into my, you know, like my fourth and fifth year at that place we all worked at together. I was still in pretty good shape, is because pretty much every job I had before that was, you know, like an extremely physically demanding job. You know, it definitely makes a difference.
Well, speaking of being fat and happy and lazy. Rusty, what have you been playing?
What have I been playing?
Besides shit, Final Fantasy.
Yeah, Final Fantasy. Give me a sec here. Final Fantasy 14. Currently playing it. It's probably why I sound like I'm, you know, only like a quarter here. That, and I've been up since butt crack of dawn this morning, making pasties. I'm tired. I have also played a metric fuck ton of Diablo 4.
Been playing
Vessel of Hatred.
Yeah, I have started that. I think I probably got about 20 hours in it, but I'm only like level 45.
That is,
Torment, 36.
I'm on, there's...
I know there's not a Torment 36. What Torment level?
Eight difficulty levels. I'm on the seventh difficulty level. So I'm on Torment 3 with a Spiritborn, and I am insta-gibbing Torment 3 monsters with my current setup. So I'm pretty close to going to Torment 4.
Are you doing the poison build, or did you go back to Quills?
I went back to Quills.
Because it's broken?
Because Quills was broken. Quills is really broken. Is
somebody doing trillions of damage now?
Yes.
Is the game starting to break because it's doing so much damage?
Well, actually, that is a thing, because what Blizzard has done on the most recent patch is abbreviate all of the damage numbers. So
now we're looking at coefficients. It's like
1.2 trillion, or 1.2 T for trillion, or 500 B for 500 billion. You know,
I've never done much damage in any of those games.
Yeah, and I was like, well, I was happy with a couple million, per hit. If I was using an ultimate or something like that, like that's what I'm expecting for damage. No. Routinely hitting for multiple millions, I've gotten up to, I don't have the perfect gear. Honestly, I don't have a perfect setup either. I don't know what the fuck I'm doing. And I'm still hitting for over, 100 million damage in some situations.
You'll have to post your, when you do your video, you'll have to just go through and show off your build, and then that way people can see what you're rocking. I know it's obviously a variant of the Quill build.
It's a variant of the Quill build, and I'm actually still kind of going through it. I'm not a theory crafter by any means. Like those people who get into Diablo 4 or Path of Exile and is like, you take this, you take this particular like skill, and this skill gives you like 1.75% extra damage. I'm not that. I am going with things that make numbers go boom. I play for fun. I don't play for YouTube or for profit of any kind. I play for fun. So I do have a couple of videos of me like basically blowing up bosses on Torment 3 in less than a second. These are story bosses that are supposed to live for a minute or two while you fight them. These things are just dying, just like insta dead. And that is, I honestly believe that Blizzard will eventually just like change some shit with Spiritborn so that it kind of like reins them in, because there's some crazy, crazy damage interactions that's happening with Spiritborn that just makes them, they do way more damage than the next highest class, in and to a point where a good portion, like 90% of players, are playing Spiritborn right now because it's so broken.
Yeah, because it's fun to see big numbers and things go boom.
Right, and that's why I'm having a whole lot of fun with it, because this is basically the first time I've gotten to a point in Diablo where I've gotten close to those crazy endgame builds that you see on YouTube of people doing crazy shit. This is the closest I've ever gotten to having a build that's capable of that. I can see why people play those games and enjoy those builds that are just like, I'm going to go shit on literally everything just for fun. But there's also something to be said of like, there's these bosses have full on like mechanic cycles and shit like that. And you skip all of it. You just, everything about Spiritborn right now basically says, no, fuck you. I'm playing the game my way. And that's going to be good for a while. And then I think when the Nerf hammer starts, Nerf bat starts swinging, right? There's going to be a lot of people pissed off because it's going to happen. It's got to happen.
Well, the nice thing is that the Path of Exile comes out next month in early access.
And Path of Exile has had its fair share of broken, builds before, but they tend to, they tend to balance those things out with, got tired there for a second. But yeah, they tend to balance those things out quite a bit, before they go live. And I don't think Blizzard had a good handle on just how strong Spiritborn would be once it got into the hands of like those uber theory crafters, right? Those people who can do the math really, and really min-max that shit. So, I don't know, man. Path of Exile 2, definitely one of those games that I'm gonna pick up and play. Path of Exile is really microtransaction heavy, but so is Diablo, for the most part. Just play the game.
It's pretty good. I mean, like, I've had a lot of fun with it. Like, I was looking for something that I hadn't done, right? Like, I've done a lot of Diablo. And so I ended up playing something else. But before we talk about that, think Jason has some thoughts on at least one game.
I mean, I do, because I've been, Prairie Dog playing this game,
since
it released. Oh, yeah, I have held poops to continue playing this game.
So you've turtled a little bit just to play this game?
Yeah. I have turtled four missions to play this game. And that is MechWarrior 5.
You can pause the game.
You're not that far away from
That doesn't mean I want to.
The next thing he's going to do is he's going to have a fucking
goddamn mission.
He's going to install a keyboard, mouse, and a monitor in the shitter.
If I could have pulled a Cartman the other day, I would have.
Bathroom.
Yeah. Now, so MechWarrior 5 Clans.
So MechWarrior 5 Clans, I think they I think Piranha Games definitely made a great decision not to make this DLC, right? It is a whole new game. You know, I will try to stay spoiler-free here as far as I think I'm about halfway through it. But the, this time you're, you know, no secret, it's way out by now, you're playing brand new mech warriors in the clan Smoke Jaguar.
Like he said, Jaguar.
Jaguar. And you are playing through the beginning of the invasion of the Inner Sphere by the clans in 3049.
Yeah, that's before Mercenaries, isn't it?
Is it?
I think so.
I thought Mercenaries was before the clan invasion. Looking now, I'm going to have to look it up so that it doesn't drive me crazy. Yeah, so MechWarrior 5 Mercenaries and all of its DLC occur from 3015 up to 3049.
Which means
this guy.
Well, actually, the majority of the game, minus the latest DLC, occurred pre-invasion.
So anyways, you're glossing over some other things.
It's a completely different game.
It is. It's in a completely different engine, too.
Yes. So it's in a brand new engine. An engine that, for whatever reason,
runs like shit.
Well, it's not running like shit for me.
I have a 4090 and I had to put it on the same settings that you had to get it to run. Yeah, it's yeah, I'm not the not only the
resolution one. Like graphic settings, yes, but resolution no. Like yeah. You're still running at 4K.
I'm running it at 4K. I had a fatal error, so I did the first mission 3 times and on the 4th time it worked. I was immediately put off by that. Like, I reinstalled graphics drivers. I did a lot of things trying to get that stupid thing to work. And then on top of that, like, I had to wait forever. So, like, I've been going to bed earlier because I'm trying to wake up at 5 now. Yeah. So I can go to work
basically,
earlier.
Basically, if you try to max out shadows and reflections throughout the game along with textures, it has problems.
It does, and it shouldn't, because there are games I have that look infinitely better that run on higher settings. It's not really well optimized.
No, it's not really well optimized yet. But I mean, it's been running fine. It's been running fine. I've not had any issues. I mean, I basically drew down my draw distance and drew down the some of the volumetric shaders because I knew there was going to be a lot going on the screen just from experience with MechWarrior 5, so I figured that was probably a safe bet, and turns out I was right, because a lot of people have had issues trying to run high everything. So that could be one gripe about the game.
I've got like 25.
One thing you can't have a gripe about with the game, though, is definitely the story. It is great. It is well written. This game, differing from Mercenaries, is a much more linear story game. So at least to this point, there's not like an open map where you can just jump around and fulfill whatever contracts you want to fulfill, right? The whole map's not open to you. You're definitely very linear going from planet to planet on the invasion path.
With there being XP, like, I kind of wish that there was a way to grind, and there doesn't feel like there's a way to grind.
There is a way to grind. It's called the simulator and rerunning your campaign missions over and over. That's how you grind. If you want grind. That's how you get your grind, Justin.
I don't know if I like that.
You're just going to have to be happy with that.
But I'm not.
Right, Justin.
I'm not.
This is very much more a narrative game than what Mercenaries was. At least so far, right? Like, I don't know what'll happen once I hit the end of the game if it ends up opening up like Mercenaries did.
Well, Mercenaries was open from the get-go.
Huh?
Mercenaries was open from the get-go.
Yeah. But this time they're focusing on telling a story, and I'm okay with that. Especially a story that a lot of us who have been around both the tabletop and the video games for a very long time in that sphere, they're telling a story that hasn't been put into the forefront by any of the published media for BattleTech and MechWarrior.
Like 30 years. But let's get to the meat and potatoes of the game. So tell me what you like about it, because I'm struggle bussing here.
All right. So what I love about this game is they introduced a new piloting mode so that the legs of your mech will sync with wherever you turn your torso. Now, that said, you can still, and basically that follows your mouse. So you're just straight driving like you would a car with your mouse. But you can force the legs to turn in a different direction and basically, strafe. Like you did in MechWarrior.
Which is exactly what I did immediately. Still
by using A and D, right? It's just the second you let go of A and D, A or D, the legs straighten out, and it's going wherever you have your camera pointed. Right. So I do like that, because it makes it feel a little less cumbersome to spin your entire mech back around.
But that's
whenever you're trying to track targets. Right?
But you realize part of the reason you do that is to spread damage. So as you're going towards something, you spin left to right after you shoot to take the damage and spread it over your mech versus just taking it all on the face.
Well, yeah. And I still do that to an extent.
You can't do that it's always driving forward.
You also have the option to change your controls back to classic, Justin, so you get the same Mercenaries control scheme.
I did, because I thought it was a bullshit move.
Other things I like about the game, the mechs definitely feel like they move faster, like clan mechs should. So they definitely geared the game that way. It definitely feels like you're moving faster than inner sphere mechs of the same tonnage. So that's good. This is another point where Justin and I differ. I really like the XP science research with your salvage and the mech bay. I do like the mech bay. Now, that said, the mech bay is a whole lot more limited than what you had with Mercenaries, from the standpoint that you can't customize every slot, at least not yet. I'm sure that's something that modders are going to change in the future, right? That's going to take a little bit because, you know, this is a whole new game engine. But basically, because the only mechs available to you currently are mechs that Clan Jaguar, Smoke Jaguar, had at the beginning of the invasion, those are the only mechs you can unlock via your XP and then purchase. Now, all clan mechs are Omni mechs, and for anybody who's not super familiar with that or only has exposure to these mechs, let's say via the most recent MechWarrior 5 Mercenaries or even Battletech, clan mechs operate on a different armor and loadout system called Omnipods. They're Omni mechs. So basically, you can end up customizing a mech for whatever situation you're taking it into, either with long range weapons, medium range weapons, you know, whatever you need. So there ends up basically being three different systems within the mech bay by which you customize your mech. You have just the regular straight customization, and the customization window it shows you is the basic summary customization window from Mercenaries. And there you can switch weapons, you can change your ammo, add any additional equipment, etc. You cannot just wholesale change out armor pieces or heat sinks, and that's where Justin has a problem.
Well, I'm waiting for you to go through your glowing review, and I'm just about to shit all over this.
Even though I have had zero issues with armor or heat, I get it. It's a thing. Now, the game there is one pain point, and that is the game doesn't open up with at least a giving you access to even one medium mech.
Well, yeah, you get the Viper.
Do you start with the Viper?
Yeah, that's your medium mech.
Right. So you start with one medium mech, and then it gives you three different light mechs. So those first couple missions, if you're not careful in how you're loading out and how you're going about the mission, like I specifically, basically ended up with, extended range medium lasers and just a shit ton of missiles on all of my mechs throughout my Battlestar, which is five mechs instead of a Lance like you're used to from Mercenaries, which is 4 mechs. That's one difference with the clans. So my loadouts for those first 2 or 3 missions were exclusively, for the most part, medium to long range weapons, and then I was just running around the entire freaking map, just sniping the shit out of the mechs I went against. Now, that said, that approach made my missions probably last a little bit longer, but meant I didn't take near as much damage as I heard Justin experience as he was playing through it while we were in Discord. Now, the second way you customize it is right from the base mech lab when you select edit the loadout of your mech. You have the opportunity for Omnipod loadout. And that is where you can buy different predetermined configurations of Omnipods, or on the main edit loadout screen, you can click on one of the pods you currently have, and you can choose select Omnipod. And in both screens, there are lots of different pods you can select. But where you can get closer to the customization that you saw with MechWarrior 5 Mercenaries is selecting it. Just use the default loadout that gives you. Select one of the pods that's currently on your mech. Click on Select Omnipod. And there is actually a blank Omnipod that doesn't have any predetermined loadout function for any weapon type. Right? So it's just a straight up blank canvas, Justin, that you can then customize however you want. But in order to use that and purchase that, you have to, not with your starter mechs, but with later mechs that you unlock, you may have to actually buy that particular Omnipod, the blank one. And you have to do it for each Omnipod. And you basically have four Omnipods, your torso and your arms on each side, and then your torso. Now, that said, torso, you can't get one that's completely generalized, because your engine and your gyro are fixed based on the mech. You cannot customize those as of yet. And I think that's where Justin started having real issues with it last night. Like, he's ready to shit all over this mech bay just because it's not the Mercenaries mech bay.
I mean, because it's not good?
It is good.
It You're fucking sucks. You're
so biased.
I'm not biased, so let me explain. I've let you go because I needed to hear some of that. So here's, I get what you're saying, Jason. I'm not shitting over you. You're obviously having fun, and that's good. I'm having fun in spurts. I'm super fucking annoyed with the mech bay, and I'll tell you why I'm fucking annoyed with the mech bay. So, a big thing that's nice, right, about
now, MechWarrior, one thing,
but, oh, you're just going to interrupt
before
me.
Before you go that far, I will say the one thing I do think where they failed is not having a tutorial for the mech bay, considering how much they changed it. 100%.
Because you didn't even need a tutorial for the other one because it wasn't so fucking convoluted. I like the Omnipod idea. You know what I don't like? I don't like not being able to compare a weapon to see if it's better than the other weapon, just right off the bat. That's the first point. Second point, in the other game, you could take and adjust your armor values down or remove armor from the back and add it to the front, right, to change your weight, right? You could take and remove heat sinks if you didn't need them because you're going all ballistic, right? You could, and so the way that this compensates for armor is you're already left with the stock armor no matter what. You can add armor in 0.25 ton increments, which, okay, that's kind of cool. We could do that with the other game.
Or half ton or 1 ton once you've done the research, sir.
Right. So you can add armor, but it's not adding to the back or the front. It's just a flat number, right? But then I'm left with, like, it always leaves you, if you strip your mech, you're always left with a flat tonnage with the armor that's there and the heat sinks are there. There's all these slots that are locked on every single thing. And those Omnipods aren't that much of a blank slate because it's still always going to be a ballistic joint for the most part, right? Like, there's not a whole lot of editing your torso. There's not a whole bunch of, like, adding an FCS or anything like that. Like, I wanted an ECM on my Viper, and I can't figure out how to put a fucking ECM on there because the only, like, additional point that I can put on that's an AMS, right? because I was like, I'm going to get through this hump of, because I still can't even build the stock loadout of mechs with the limited amount of money, because I can't grind any money, right? The limited amount of money I have, I can't buy all medium mechs to fit, just hit the basic tonnage requirements of the missions I'm on, because I just haven't made enough money yet, because you're only going to get so much money off the mission. And then,
oh yeah, that's true. You go through the first three or four missions fairly under tonnage, because those are the only mechs you have access to, right?
Right. And so, like, in the Omnipod layout thing, like, especially on the lighter mechs, don't feel that different each one. So, like, their way around customization is, here's five stock loadouts that we can give you, and then you can make these loadouts worse because we think that we got them as good as they can get. But it's just like I'm on one. I had a Viper loadout that I tried, and then I restarted the mission because it was so bad. That gave me five medium lasers. That seems cool in theory. The problem is you can only go one through four. I can't assign my thumb buttons the same way that I could before, or not my thumb buttons. You used to be able to hit control and then button one for group five and control and button two for group six. Now I can't do the control click thing anymore, so I'm stuck to putting on things one through four. You can't pause the game to reassign your weapon groups. You can't set your weapon groups for you on a fucking mission. So, like, that part's fucking broken. And then that laser Viper that I had overheats after two shots. And so I couldn't remove enough shit to... So I guess, like, the only way to build that out, right, is remove two lasers and add two double heat sinks. Because it just overheats. Yes. And then I ended up in a boss fight where I did fucking nothing for half the fight because I just watched my heat trickle down. I'd shoot one shot and hit and then run around in circles for like a solid 30 seconds waiting for my fucking thing to cool down. And just like that just doesn't feel right. And then the mission itself. So like I figured out a way to make this playable for me, right? The flamers are more powerful and the machine guns are more powerful in this game. Don't ask me why. They just are. They do better DPS than they did in Mercenaries. Those guns were okay if you had like eight machine guns on a mech, or you had like eight flamers on a mech. If you got the flamer mech, right? I think it's literally called the flamer. And you loaded that up with like two small lasers and like six flamers, it was good. I loaded up the Viper with two small pulse lasers to hit stuff occasionally, right? Like I might not even do that. Four machine guns and four flamers. And now I just run around, jump over shit, and backstab it with the flamers and machine guns. It's two buttons, and I can alpha strike with that, and it does infinitely more damage than four lasers because I can hold the button down and just not do anything, right? So, like, that part's better. Right. The missiles look better. The graphics look better. The movement is better. I don't the like
the graphics look great.
Yeah, the graphics are way better. I don't like the mech stomp sounds. I'm not the story's not bad so far. Like, I like that part of it, but I don't like to replay a mission to get. So I guess I could do that for XP or mech XP or whatever, right? Like that's an easy stopgap. But I don't have a way to grind money, right? I don't have a way to grind money, and that part annoys the piss out of me. But the like moment to moment gameplay is fine, except that I can't pause it.
Every time you complete those missions, you get. You get Kerenskis, which is the claim currency. You can sell salvage or old mechs.
And that's the other thing. The salvage, it's just right. points. You're not picking... I'm not legging a mech so that I get that mech, right? I'm not shooting the LRMs because I want that badass LRM. Right. I'm just trying to kill things as fast as possible no matter what because I don't care about any of that anymore. And which was like a whole strategy in all the MechWarrior games, BattleTech and MechWarrior and MechWarrior 4, right?
Right.
And it doesn't have any of that.
Because, right. But there's a reason for that. Because this game's so narratively driven, that is a wholly true to canon.
But is it more way fun?
Of treating the clans.
Okay, well, I don't know anything about the clans or any of that stuff. I've just been playing stompy mech games. I've never read a book, right? I'm looking at, is this more fun than what the last experience was? And so far, the only better point is graphics and the story, the fact that it has a story, because the other one's story sucked ass. But I've got 400 hours in MechWarrior 5, right? I've got 300 hours in Epic, and I just completed a 115-hour run, modded run, granted, on the last game on Steam. And I can tell you, like, without a doubt, like, so far I'm not having nearly as much fun. And part of that was just, I thought when I saw the overhead map, I was going to be able to pause for a second, direct my guys around the battlefield. Like, I think it was Mech Commander or Mech 2. It was a DVD-ROM that I had in, like, the late 90s, early 2000s.
Yeah, it was Mech Commander.
And I thought I'd be able to pause and issue commands. And right now, the only thing I'm doing with that is I'm like coming up on an area and I was like, I don't want to get shot up. So I quickly stop my mech, hit B, grab all my mechs, set them to guard a point ahead of me so they start taking aggro and then circle around to backstab. But then I can't hit that again while I'm fighting because, like, holy shit, I'm not just going to park myself in the middle of a firefight. I've been backstabbed by my own mechs like 17 times. If I charge ahead at all, they seem to just backstab me instead. I'm just like, you motherfuckers.
And I 100% agree that is one of the pain points I've had.
You could, there was friendly fire on Mech Warrior 5 mercenaries with other factions that were friendly. So if other mechs jumped in and they were friendly to you, you could accidentally blow their arms off. But you would just get a noise that said, oh, you're accidentally shooting your guy, and it was no big deal, right? My guys shot me in the back all the time, but it never made a damn bit of difference. But now that the AI's just like, you know, 10 IQ points smarter than it was before, now when they're backstabbing you, they're just backstabbing you. That's how I lost my mech like two different times in two different missions until I figured out like, hey, I want to do this different. Like, and that's another thing, right? If I got rid of my jump jets, I probably gain like two more tons and could change out my loadout. I can't change my jump jets, my heat sinks, or my armor except for stacking armor. And like all those things combined just are pissing me off. And maybe I'll like it better as I get more used to it. But like as far as like just apples to apples, give me a paper doll and let me add remove shit really quickly like the other game did. The other game did it is 100 times better on the customization. Of your mech, which is like half the fun of this game. It's just like when XCOM, it's the same thing that XCOM did, right? XCOM 1 and 2, you had these soldiers that are highly customizable that you made and you had their own traits, etc. And then you got to XCOM Chimera Squad and they wanted a narrative focus on that game. And then they gave you very, very specific characters that you could recruit. Nobody, they were all, you know, handmade by Firaxis. And there was zero customization with those guys. They just leveled up linearly, more or less. And then just the whole game became like, you know, everything was about like a break. What do they call it? A breach and clear. That was the name of XCOM. That was XCOM Chimera Squad. Like that game's trash.
Yeah.
And so because it wants you to pick between five loadouts and then you can slightly customize each of those loadouts because they have their... I'm going to have to play with that mech lab a lot. Like, that mech lab needs fixed bad. They did not play test that with people that played mercenaries. Like, it's been universal when you're looking through the mixed reviews. People are like, this mech lab fucking blows.
And I can agree with you that the mech lab is not as straightforward or friendly as it should be.
There's like, what, four currencies that you're managing, right? You're managing, so your XP... You manage for your guys, right? But then every mech you use, you hit milestones and XP, and that can be used for two things. That XP can be used to unlock chassis in the mech lab, or unlock different attributes for your mech. So it could be acceleration, turn speed, etc. And it's a really hard choice because I'm like, okay, I need all those things to make these more agile, but am I going to use that? Well, yeah, I'm only getting XP for this mech as I'm using it, so... I guess I better just blow all of it as I'm going and then unlock the things that I think I might use. But, you know, it's the... And then you got the currency that you use for your research, and the current that same currency transfers over to hiring scientists and hiring repair guys. I don't actually mind the repair thing that so much. I got over that pretty quick. The repair thing's all right, because you're not spending any money.
Yeah, the repair is... I will say that's one thing that maybe they made... friendlier for newer people into the franchise is that repair is automatic. The only thing you have to do is spend some of your own hero XP to requisition more repair techs.
Yeah, and then you need to get
to filled. Complete repairs between missions.
I got myself to a point where I could fill the whole lance, like two lances, right? If everything was repaired, that way I could move stuff off that was like super damaged and do two missions of repair, basically, with that stuff, so it wasn't as bad. And then there's some mechs that I'm just like straight trashing, like that fucking, what is it, the Mad Lynx or whatever, like that thing can go in the garbage can.
Oh, yeah, no, that thing.
It's
that
paper.
Thing is horrible.
It's paper, and everybody that pilots it wants to just go into brawling range with it when it's clearly a long-range mech. Yeah. So, like, there's...
Yeah. The Arctic Lynx is definitely the weakest light mech.
Yeah, there's that one that, if it had more armor, that has two PPCs. So I finished a mission because I got blown to shit on one of these missions I was doing and finished that mission with that one that has two PPCs. And I'm not familiar with any of these are all different mechs to me. But that one, that light mech with two PPCs, like I like things left and right with that. That thing was awesome. And I've been finally got my Shadow Cat, as that's what it is, right? It's got the Gauss cannon on it, which I also plan on using to leg mechs or headshot mechs. And it's hard coming to the light mechs, too. I literally just got off a game where I had a King Crab with four Gauss rifles and could hedge as long as I had a head in view, like it was insta-death or insta-leg, could shoot all four and insta-leg anything except for a fucking Atlas. Like it's, and then just, you know, having four level five Gauss rifles, like just, it's two shots on an Atlas and it's got no leg. So, like, and it is hard getting back into a light mech after doing that. I appreciate that there's cover in this game, essentially, right? Like, there's a lot of stuff in the way that you can kind of hide behind. And I really, to your point, did not get that it wants me to engage at range. But the starter mech you get only has a range of 300 meters when you first start. So there is no, like, getting out of range of anything. You're just, like, circling and hopping over things to backstab with it because that was the only thing. Like, the... Yeah. The missiles seem like they do more damage, too. There's a lot more SSRMs, the lock-on, you know, streak rockets, basically. And there's, like, I've seen commandos out in the field, that's a mech variant, that have two sets of SSRMs that are just fucking devastating. And in mercenaries, those things are a fucking joke. And in this game, for whatever reason, see a commando, it's now, like, the numero uno target because it just...
Yeah, that's the first thing I'm hitting with my PPC and my LRMs.
But like things like the missiles track better in this game. They look cooler. They look like they're hitting legs. I don't know if it's where you have your reticle on the mech when you're using the LRM, but they do better damage and they shoot faster and the missiles look way better.
That is a huge improvement with missiles is it's using more of the tabletops spread rules. So missiles that don't hit the torsos or the arms directly can basically do a percentage of damage to the legs because they've impacted the ground around the legs. Right.
Yeah, and maybe that's what's going on, but I'm legging mechs with LRMs. Yeah. I'm watching the missiles go down and hit legs, and I'm just like, when did that start happening?
And that's why.
It's a little bit of a mixed bag for me at the moment, like, because I've had some frustrating missions. I did figure out, like, there was a mission to guard something that I was having some trouble with. I just parked all my people up by the things that they were supposed to guard, and then I went and engaged everything around the map that was furthest out. So they took care of any stragglers that came up towards that area and didn't get themselves blown to shit. And then I know how to backstab, so I just took my Viper and backstabbed with flamers and machine guns. And I think that mission took me like three times to kind of figure out the rhythm for it. But it is when I'm used to, I've been for the last 2 weeks running in mechs that run at 50 kilometers an hour top speed, right? That's something I'm going to miss too. Like I've got a same King Crab, right? No, different King Crab because I have a King Crab with four, LBX clusters on it, but it's got a big engine. So my King Crab that has four LBXs on it has, a top speed of 70 kilometers per hour. And that's because I switched out the engine and then I added, an extra large engine type, which takes up additional spaces in the mech. But like, I've got a King Crab that travels at 72 and has a mask, which is basically like a turbocharger. So I can hit shift and it like sprints at 100 kilometers an hour. Fucking King Crab that sprints at 100 kilometers an hour. It's fucking scary. And that's the kind of customization I miss, is those wacky builds like that, right? Of like, I had a charger that had two axes on my last game.
Right.
That was just a melee mech.
What you're able to do because of mods, right? Like, Mercenaries natively wouldn't let you do that.
Most of that. It didn't let you swap engines.
Not the engine.
Not the engine, but you could put masks on it.
That King Crab in the base game without mods would still be running at 40 to 50 kph. Like, it's not going to be a 90 kph mech. Right?
Well, my base was 72, but yeah, with the mask, I could get up to like 100. But you could still add the mask add-on after DLC to any mech that was the right tonnage type to the mask.
Now, that said, I will say you'll get back to that feeling a little bit later in the game once you can unlock the Direwolf or the Executioner. Those are the two assault mechs to look to.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to getting that.
Both of those are great.
Looking forward to my little light mech guys not backstabbing each other and blowing each other up mid-mission, because that's happening. That happens at almost once a mission. It's just like, little dude, I guess Liam's his name, like, gets backstabbed by somebody almost every mission. It's like, what are you doing? Why do you keep getting backstabbed? And it's not even enemies, right? Like, they park next to somebody and somebody like double PPCs him to the back, and he's just like, I gotta eject again. My friend over here just keeps fucking butt fucking me every day. Every time we're on a mission, I get butt fucked by my buddy. I would like to see some improvement to the AI. I can understand that in a online game, like, you couldn't pause and issue tactical commands, right? And it's set up for co-op. But while I'm playing single player, like, that would be a huge improvement to take my lance and spread them out, right? So that I had everybody attacking from the side, right? It is incredibly tedious to do that without getting your ass blasted in the middle of combat. You can set people up in points that way, and that's okay. But now they're just guarding. You're just like, as soon as you hit, Liam attacked this person, he moves from that point to go into brawl range with his LRMs for some reason. You're just like, what the fuck are you doing again? Oh, you're going to go shoot him with your small laser. That was more effective. Thank you. Let me switch to you and drive you, because you don't know how to pilot an LRM mech. It's stuff like that I'm still having trouble with. Like, yeah, the AI was super brain dead in the first game. Do not get me wrong. So I put them in mechs that had like dumb armor, right? I basically put them in two sets of armor and gave them all lasers, or LRMs, like two medium lasers and all LRMs, or just all medium lasers. And let them go face tank shit while I can circle around and backstab stuff. Like, the AI still needs work. It's not as, I don't know. Now that they can backstab each other, I think it's kind of worse, but.
Actually, there's a mixture, right? Like, the friendly fire portion of it, and the fact that they tend to, cluster in a, cluster to you unless you've given them orders to go attack something, or you've
they want to go to
their attack queue.
I like the attack queue because you can highlight everything and just go 1, 2, 3, 4, right? And that part's nice. But like, when they're form on me, they're shoulder to shoulder like a bunch of mobsters with you, and you're just like, move out of the way for a second so I can just edge around you.
Right. Yeah. So I would say I agree with you. The not pausing when you view the commander map is a definite pain point.
It's good for setup, right? Like, there was doing those reconnaissance missions, and I didn't want them tripping alarms because I wasn't sure how smart the AI was. So I'd park them at the bottom of the base and basically guard my back, right? let me go in and do all the scan things. The scan mechanic I'm not wholly mad at. I think there's some coolness to that. It's essentially just switching vision mode so you can click a button and hear beeps. But, that's the other thing. The base loadouts, right? Like, routinely running out of ammo because I don't have enough ammo. Like, you always have, like, way too much machine gun ammo, but the having a half ton of machine gun ammo is, like, a crazy amount of shots. I keep running out of SRM ammo every time I do a game. But the it's still a mixed bag for me. I may find more enjoyment when I get more medium mags. Like I said, before this, before we started a podcast, I just unlocked my Shadowcat. I haven't run it in a mission yet. It's got a Gauss rifle on it. It is the first thing I'm going to try because it feels like an anti-leg mech. And that's what I need. I need to be leg and mechs. And I really like the animation of the Gauss rifle in this game. So I'm going to continue to give it a shot. Like, don't get me wrong. But, like, I have some really legitimate gripes because I'm a huge fan of this franchise and how it works.
So, you want Mech Warrior 6.
I want a mech bay that's competent.
This is going to have to be, I bet you somebody out there is like, I'm going to take all the best bits of this game and I'm going to make all of, the customization from the previous game and be like, I'm going to make this happen. So,
yeah,
probably it's just a matter of time.
As soon as there is a mod out for that of redesigning the mech bay to be more intuitive, like 110%.
Well, I'm sure there's probably a total conversion mod already, already somewhere in somebody's brain pan going, okay, how can we get all of this but basically have this a very similar experience to Mercenaries,
Yeah. And to that point, Justin, you just said the Stormcrow or the Shadowcat. Your next medium mechs, your first heavy, I guess it's a heavy mech, Mad Dog. Go Mad Dog. Ignore everything but the Mad Dog and Timberwolf, and you'll be happy. The Hellbringer and the Summoner both suck.
Well, you get the Summoner at the very beginning of the game, and it's a mech that doesn't know what to do, what it is, right? It's got a PPC, an LBX, and an LRM-10, I think, was what it's loaded out with. Like, I think that could be rebuilt to, like, two large lasers and two SRM-6s and be fine, right? Or four medium lasers. See, like, I'm already thinking, like, what would you do to make this better? I don't know, six medium lasers, two double heat sinks, two SRM-6s, and, like, already be better. Whoops. Yeah, we're still recording. that's the kind of stuff, like, you've played a lot of Mech Warrior, you're like, okay, well, I know what I could do with these tons and with this heat value, right? And I could be wrong, right? You don't have different tiers of weapon. Like, there's not different tiers of medium laser. There's just you get better with research. Is that correct?
Correct. But it basically, your better versions of lasers are achieved through research, because by default, from the get-go, you have access to basically two types. It's either a pulse laser, small, medium, or large, or a ER laser, small, medium, or large.
Yeah.
And then you've got the PPC.
They don't have a PPC. Have you run into a PPCX yet?
No, just the ER PPC, and I've got research going for snub PPC.
Do they have a snub Gauss rifle?
Not that I've come across yet. But that is the thing, as your story progresses, more and more research becomes available.
And is there a LRM stream yet? Have you run into that?
Yes.
Because that makes a big difference.
Yeah.
Because it's point
LRM damage. LRM stream. That's the other thing I like about the game is it gives you both just regular autocannons and LBX autocannons straight off the start. And then ultra autocannons you have to research.
Yeah, I've got an ultra autocannon too that I could mount to something. I just don't have the tonnage on any of these mechs to work with it. I need that for legging. That's always, it's either headshots or legs. That's what I usually do. And right now, because I got flamers, it's back shots. Right? Yeah. Just butt fuck everything.
I've actually been legging mechs with the ERPPC. That sounds horrible.
No, that's a fine weapon to do it with.
It slows everything down enough that, or slows the medium and the light mechs down enough that I can headshot the bastards. Because everything medium and light feels like it moves way faster in this game. Once you get into the heavy mechs and the assault mechs, you definitely can tell that the clan mechs move faster than the inner sphere counterparts. But, like, it's not, you know, medium and light are still, like, whizzing around the place almost like they're
working
on speed.
That's the part about salvage that I do miss. It's just, like, early on you run into an Orion, and I was like, I want that Orion. The Orion is, like, the junkyard dog of heavy mechs. Like, you can, there's, like, 75 configurations with an Orion. Base is always shit. But I've had lots of great Orion mechs. I've got an Orion mech on my other game. It has 5 SRM-6s on it and just a fuckload of ammo. And when you strike with 30 SRMs, like, you blow off parts of mechs.
Yeah, the Orion is the Atlas of the heavy mech, right? Like,
kinda, yeah.
It's almost endlessly customizable.
Yeah, I'm not a huge fan of Atlases. But
I love the Atlas, but that's because you can mount pretty much anything you want.
Yeah, you get less firepower though. Like, it's all armor. It's a big tank. You can mount a couple of big weapons too, but you can outclass it with a heavy mech pretty fast. You have to be more maneuverable.
It's also the fast by base game, and this was true in both BattleTech and Mercenaries. By base game, without mods, just default engines, it's one of the fastest assault mechs there is.
Now I'm sitting here scratching my head.
At like 65 kph.
No, it base is 48. I just got off that game. What other assaults did I...
Maybe now, the Mech Zeus, Warrior was slower. I never got an Atlas in Mech Warrior.
Yeah, I have 7 of them on my other game. And they just... They're my AI mech because they're so tanky. And I can put really simple weapons on them. So I put SRMs and large lasers on them. And that's all. Just let them just... They basically got an LRM-30, right? 2 LRM-15s on it. And then 2 large lasers or large pulse lasers. And I let my AI squad mates use those, and then I get in an Annihilator, a King Crab, or I've got a tricked out Zeus that I was using that was super fast for an assault.
The Annihilator. It's like the urban mech of...
No, it's not.
Assault mech.
It has 5 ballistic hardpoints. 5. I had 5, yeah,
that's,
5 AC-10 rapid fires. It literally legs in 2 shots. Like in it,
but without mods,
that's wasn't with mods. It can take
you 30 minutes to go across the damn map.
It is slow as fuck, but you can hit things from across the map. It is slow, like, as fuck. Its base is like 37 kilometers per hour. It's super slow and it's super tall. It looks like a Geth from Mass Effect.
Yes, it does.
But it has 5 ballistic hardpoints and, like, 5 energy hardpoints too, which is crazy.
You know what it is? The Annihilator looks like it belongs in a Godzilla movie fighting Godzilla.
It's taller than everything, too.
That's what the annihilator looks like.
It's literally taller than everything, and it's just all weapon. It's all forward-facing weapon. Like, an alpha strike with my annihilator, I'm not even fucking joking, with, like, 5 AC-10s on it, right? And 5 medium pulse lasers on it, was like 160 damage. One shot. 160 damage. When you're talking about, like, your base medium lasers, like, 5, it was 160 damage. It was stupid. And then, because it would, like, almost instantly overheat using that kind of alpha strike, which is unnecessary, I tricked it out to ultra autocannon 5s, right? So, ultra autocannons shoot as fast as you can pull the trigger, except you got 5 of them going. I had 1,000 rounds of ultra autocannon ammo on that thing, because I could click the button, and it was 5 shots at a time. And it was... like, it was 50 damage a shot. So, like, or 25 damage a shot as fast as I can click a button, which is crazy. So, it's just, like, 2 shots to the head, you're done. And then, but, like, it's almost like a machine gun. And you can go through 1,000. I went through 1,000 rounds in, like, 5 minutes one time, just, like, killing mechs. There was a mission I did with that thing that had, I had 40 mech kills with that thing. Like, it's fucking ridiculous. But we're... okay, we like MechWarrior a lot.
we like MechWarrior a lot. Justin's still trying to get used to clans. I will say I've had an extremely enjoyable time with clans. I do agree with him. There are pain points, like with the battle map, with the layout of the mech bay not being more straightforward. I 100% can agree with that. I have not had frustration with the mech customization, but at the same time,
I've done it so much.
I'm also an appreciator of it being so lore specific. So
you're right. Like, nobody using contractions, right? Like, I didn't know that was a lore thing till I looked it up, and it was part of a hype video. But as somebody who knows very little of the lore, right, but knows a whole lot about using the stuff that's part of the lore, like, in my head I've got like 5 different combinations of something when I look at it, and I can't do any of it the way I want to do it, and that's frustrating. Like, I literally can look at any of these and be like, this is how many tons I have. If I strip all the stuff, this is how much each thing weighs, right? Like, that's another thing, right? On the other game, right, you click on an energy point, and all the weapons are listed by tonnage. I don't have to mouse over every single weapon to see what the ton is, or the damage is, or the heat, right? It's all there in a row. I look at one look in a scroll bar. I've got all the weapons that I have in my inventory, and I know what's going to fit. Now I've got to mouse over everything and just kind of memorize it as I go, so that I know, like, what I got to play with. But... and, you know, we've waxed long on MechWarrior. I'm still mixed on it. Jason's really high on it. There's 2 different perspectives. Check it out on Game Pass. It's on Game Pass, right? If you're on the fence, Game Pass is the way to go. If you are not looking to spend extra money, it's also the way to go. You can still mod on Game Pass. It just takes, there's usually a Game Pass instruction on Nexus for stuff. There you go. Just came out. We'll talk more at length this next week. I'll be out of town next week, so the next time we do a podcast, we'll talk more at length about this, because I will have had more experience with it. I will tell you, there's another game I played that I want to talk about before we get to break, and I won't spend nearly as much time on this as we did with MechWarrior. So while I'm doing Excel spreadsheets, I'll have my phone propped up, right, and I'll watch Splattercat, right? And some of it's just like seeing if there's something I want to throw on my wish list for later, because all Splattercat does, as a YouTuber, is he plays indie games. Just straight indie games, right? And I don't watch every single video, but sometimes I land on him a couple times a week. I'll watch a video that he's made of a game that he's been playing. And it's a game called Quasimorph. What is Quasimorph? It's a Super Nintendo-looking game that's in an isometric view. It is a roguelite in that you have to take missions to get things to make your base more powerful, to give your guy more tools for destruction. And there is a whole weird corporate story. It's very, like, You know how, like, RoboCop was very much like corporations are running everything behind the scenes, right? And everything's really about corporations, right? Kind of the same thing. Like, there's no central government. Everything's run by a corporation, and they're all at each other's throat, and they're all hiring mercenaries to do different things. So there's a bunch of, like, wars against corporations in space, right? And you're this dude that's just a soldier in space, like, landing on planets and on bases and stuff, and, like, completing objectives. It could be protect a point from being destroyed by the other corporation. It could be infiltrate this corporation and steal this thing, right? It could be kill all the dudes. It could be defend this very specific point. And those are the missions I've unlocked so far. And I played this game. I've had this game for a year now. I played this game about a year ago. And about an hour in, I put it down. I was like, this is fucking hard. I keep getting destroyed. And it's turn-based. I'll explain the turn-based. So you've got three speeds. You've got sneaking, walking, and running. Sneak mode, you only have one action point, and you can use that to move one square. Walking mode, you have two action points, and you've got free access to your inventory. So you can open your inventory and not do anything with it without spending an action. So I can't, like, reload a weapon or whatever, right? And then, but I can open doors, I can open containers, etc., right? I can expect bodies, and that's cool. And then running mode, I can't do any of those things, like, or even heal, but I can have three action points, which is super useful when you're a murdering spider monkey with an axe, because I don't need to open my inventory. I just need to get as far as I can to get close to the person to swing three times and chop their face off. There's a ridiculous amount of items in this game. So everybody drops something. You can recycle everything, right? To, like, metal scraps and plastics and things like that. You make your, this is a very dystopian future. You can make your food out of plastic. Which is kind of crazy. So out of plastic scraps, you can make moo moo chicken, I think, or moo moo beef and, like, chicken. I can't remember. It's something stupid like that.
I was about to say.
It's something goofy like that. Chicken. Yeah, it's like moo moo beef or something else, right? It's like, it's food with a little plastic bag icon. But you can make that food. Every time you move a space, you're using an action point and you're also consuming calories. You have hit locations like you do in MechWarrior. You've got your head, your chest, your each hand, or your hands, your feet, and your legs, right? So, like, you've got multiple hit locations like you do in MechWarrior. All those things are susceptible to multiple different things. You could be acid damaged. You could be burned. You could have a deep wound. You could have a scratch. You could have a broken leg or a broken chest. I've had broken chest multiple times, right? You could lose your eyesight. Like, if you've ever played Stone Shard, it's that detailed. Stone Shard's also a game like that where every hit location has a multiple different status effects can happen to you, right? You could not be paying attention to your health, and it'll have the warning that, like, shit's going wrong with your body. You need to check. And every step you're taking, you're losing, like, 5 health. And so all those things need to be taken care of with, like, bandages and splints and antidotes and all sorts of things, right? Because you got poison damage and bleed damage and all sorts of stuff. There's all the, like minutiae of different damage types, which is crazy. Every weapon has several different damage types. There's, like, cold damage, heat damage, cutting damage, piercing damage, slash damage. Like it just, the list is like 10 different damage types. It's crazy. And you can inspect every enemy before you attack them. So, like, you can right click on an enemy, see what armor they're wearing, see what their resistances are, and then know that you should use your other weapon that does damage that they have a lower resistance to. You can also open a door, and there'll be 6 guys, and now all their turn orders start, and you get blasted in the face with 6 burst shotguns and die, which is what I used to do when I first started playing the game. And then I watched Splattercat play it, who's definitely – I'm already a better player than Splattercat. I'm just going to say that. But I've got about 20 hours in this game probably now at this point. There's another thing, too. The dead come back to life as demons. So for all the carnage you cause, on every place but one planet. And I won't say because it's lore specific and it kind of tells you as you play the game why this one place. There's one place in the universe in our solar system that doesn't have demons. But everywhere else, as you cause mayhem, right? As you, so like there's a perk for cannibalism, right? Where your melee attacker gets more powerful if they eat human flesh, which you can do. You can cut off an arm and eat a chunk of meat. And you get extra damage from it. What it does is it starts to rip the veil between our world and the demon world, right? Every time that you do that, every time you kill somebody, right? And the only way to get that world to go back is to smoke cigarettes and drink booze. So if you smoke cigarettes and drink booze, it drops that meter a little bit. But what happens is that meter gets higher is that people will die and then a demon summons in their place and they're invulnerable for one turn and they have crazy ass weapons. There's like very nightmarish weapons where they have like arms with hooks on them and stuff like that, like a severed arm with like a hook on it, or just weird disco blasters. But they have weapons and there's all sort. I've ran into 15 different demon types. There was one. It said, if I consume this eyeball, I can see the whole map. What I didn't look at on the tooltip is it causes 1,000 of whatever that meter is, right? And so it just, like, supercharged me into ultra demon mode. And I could have, like, exited this map and been done. But no, I wanted to see if I missed anything. So I consumed this eyeball, and it jumped me into ultra demon mode. And a boss spawned with, like, 6 times my HP, and he was spawning demon dogs and shooting his disco blaster. And then I had like weird spider things and demon dogs and all sorts of things just fucking swarming me while this guy was just blasting the piss out of me. And of course I died. So now I've learned to take cigarettes with me everywhere I go. So that I don't run into that kind of issue because I'm not ready for that. And he wasn't even a baron. He was just a named enemy type. Like boss monster, right? Where most enemies have like 60 to a tough enemy might have 100 hit points. This guy had 360 health points. And the most damage I could do in a turn was 80, right? But he was blasting the fuck out of me. And I wouldn't have been able to survive that. Every time you die, you lose everything. So everything you took with you, right? You might have had great gear. You lost it. I did suck so bad at this game when I first played it that I died so many times that I was out of gear. And they've since fixed the game. So it used to be you got nothing back. Now you've got like a survival case that comes back and it gives you some base equipment to work with and sometimes some of the equipment that you had before, but not all of it. So it's like, oh yeah, well, they salvage that. Your character's a clone, so that's they infinitely respawn, right? But if your character doesn't die, they start to rank up in a specific class. And it doesn't take real, it takes like 4 missions to max out a class or to get close to maxing out a class. So they earn XP pretty quick. As long as you're not dying. But, like, I had characters with bigger backpacks so I could haul more shit back to my base. You know, all those guys died. I don't have anybody with a big backpack, so now I'm on the search for a big backpack or a recipe to unlock that. And the name of the game here is blast your way through each of these levels because it's fun as shit, and then search for things that, very specific things, right, to take back with you. And sometimes you just kind of adapt, like, a lot of these enemies have ammo, right? So if I find that, you know, everybody's dropping a certain caliber of ammo, then I'll grab one of their weapons. I don't go in with a sidearm anymore like I used to. I'll just grab one of their weapons as my sidearm now because now I'm just getting ammo that they're using. I can also break that ammo down if I get too much into gunpowder, which I can use to make more ammo. The 9mm is ultimately trash, but you can get explosive 9mm, and explosive 9mm and an SMG is pretty fucking great. Which means that everything's viable. Like, everything's viable. And there's just, you know, like, every weapon has, like, 4 different ammo variants that you can slot in it. It's a crazy amount of fun, but getting past the hump of just getting some decent gear so you can play the game is a little bit of a struggle bus. But fortunately, I just kind of watched him play a little bit, and I was like, okay, now I kind of get it. I recorded a quick video. You guys are curious. At some point, we may show it. That was an easy mission for me. I didn't expect it to be as easy as it was. But that game's weird, and it updates apparently like once every 2 weeks, and they add more features. In fact, when I played it this time, I'd installed it but didn't play it, played some Diablo, and then at the end of the week, they took the beta branch and made it live, which added the thing where I could recover equipment if I fail a run. And the whole time, you're salvaging shit and trading for shit to make your ship better, which makes your runs better. Right now, I can call down an escape pod, not for my clone, but for shit. An escape pod that'll drop randomly in the level that I'm at, and it's got like 6 slots, and I can put shit in there, like maybe some things that are taking up a lot of room that I want to take back to the base. And even if I die, that shit gets trucked back to base at least. So, yeah, you increment. Yeah, it's just. It's an interesting game. I could see myself playing like 500 hours of this game too. It's the ultimate like podcast game, just more run, one run game. But it's got about an hour hump. I think it's got about an hour hump. And I think the biggest tip that I learned out of all of this is never open a door with one action point. You can hit spacebar to regain your turns. You'll gain action points back. And that way, if you open a door and there's a fuckload of enemies behind it, you've got one more action point to go to the side so you don't get fucking shit blasted. And now they're all coming to you, and then now they're in a corridor of death. So, you know, walking out one by one in a conga line out of that door while you just blast them with your shotgun. But yeah, that game's good. That's my best early access game by a long shot. That's actually what I've been playing when I had 4 fatal errors. I mentioned this earlier with MechWarrior, and I was like, I'm just going to play more Quasimorph. I'm not that mad. Because that game's pretty fun. So, I don't know how much it costs. It's got to be less than $20. I think I got on a Steam sale for $10, thinking, oh, this would be an alright game. No, it's a fucking great game. But yeah. Do we want to take a break?
Yes, please.
Alright, let's go poop. We'll be back. And we're back.
Oh, God. We're back.
Jason's been pooped. My dog's been pooped and fed.
I've changed games. Woohoo!
And I'm still not playing games.
Oh, well, you know.
I gotta
get my gaming time in somehow, right, guys? Right, guys?
That's what I'm doing after this. Everybody here is familiar with DeNuvo, right?
De novo, fuck that. God.
Fuck that fucking anti-cheat.
DRM.
Man, you're already proving my point. So they launched a Discord server to improve their image. Hundreds of people came to it and began insulting developers.
DRM.
Hey, it got so bad. So I'm going to read the last part of this article. So it said the managers of the DeNuvo Discord server limited the ability to send messages because moderating them became too difficult. The server also temporarily stopped issuing invitations. Community managers said that they would make some changes to the channel to continue communication. The next day, the DeNuvo server allowed sending messages again. New members can only write in the welcome channel where slow mode is enabled. Others who follow the rules are eventually given access to other channels. The moderators of the Discord server managed to cope with the wave of negative users. Judging by the messages on the server, some players asked the developers questions about the anti-piracy system. Creators said that if it implemented correctly, the DRM mechanism does not have to have a noticeable impact on performance. And that was the biggest part of the... Like, there's people literally writing in there that... essentially, that you're part of the fall of the PC gaming space. Which I don't disagree with. Like, it eats up a lot of space. It's pretty invasive. And kind of fucks with your game. Which,
it's not the most invasive, but it is, you know, one of the ones that has the most performance impact.
Oh, yeah. For sure.
I mean, I've seen any, you know, piracy stuff that's... or any piracy and any cheat software that is like... Yeah. real fucking, like, you know, deep shit. Like, for instance, fucking Helldivers 2 having the fucking kernel level shit, right?
Right.
Yeah. I mean, that is just an example, but yeah. Yeah, I mean, it can get worse. But yeah, they open up an open forum to God bless those Discord moderators, because I think I'd have quit. Been like, you know what, I don't think this is a good idea, boss. I don't think this is a good idea at all. I'm gonna go outside. I'm gonna go stare at the flowers now. Go look at the flowers. But yeah, that was predictable. Just they thought this was a good move.
Right.
Oh man. Yeah, so, you're gonna have like the and they're gonna let those like two or three people out there that are like huffing the fucking copium, right?
Right. They're like, oh, DeNuvo's great.
And asking the legit questions like, okay, I mean, how can we make this better? Or, how does this work? And then there's other people out there like, just, trust your gamers. There is a vast majority of gamers that are going to go out there and buy a fucking game. And it does not matter to them whether it's got DRM or not. And there's whole platforms that are like DRM free, right? It does not matter to them, and it's going to be the minority of players these days that are going to go out and actively pirate a game, because, I mean, unless they are like destitute, they're probably going to pay for the fucking game just to make it as easy as possible to get the game to run and have a quick tailored experience. You piss off your gamers, you piss off the people that are actually, wanting to play your game by, going and, making the game either unplayable with DRM or whatever. You're going to find people that's going to crack the fuck out of DRM, and DeNuvo is not uncrackable. It's, it just delays it by, a day maybe. And there's going to be people out there that crack that shit, and it's going to be pirated anyway. If they really were like, really had it in their fucking, in their mind, I'm going to pirate this game, I'm not going to support the developers, this is bullshit, but I still want to play the game because, games are fun, right? They're going to pirate it. It's just going to happen. But that's the, that would be the minority, like less than 1%. Like, I'm pretty sure most people are just going to buy it, just want the game to play the game, right?
Right.
I mean, absolutely. I just think that, yeah. No, never mind.
Yeah. Stupid point. It's just, I don't know. I know that it's kind of like corporate insurance policies and, a bunch of other shit. It's all suits. It's all fucking somebody that's not necessarily developing the game. I can tell you right now, there's a developer out, a development team going out there building a fucking game. Their goal in building the game is to make the best game they possibly can. Their goal isn't to put DRM in there and hogtie their game. I'm telling you, the people above them that are sitting around fucking board tables, they're the ones that are saying, developer, put this in. So, those people that are on a Discord, attacking developers, they're not It's not the wrong. It's that is not the target. That's not, that shouldn't ever be your target. And you know, I'm not advocating for a target of any kind. I'm just saying, if you have ire, it's not the people building your game. It's the people who are telling those people to put the fucking DRM in there, to put the locks on, to, you know, to do all the fucking, like, we need to have this for insurance policy, you know, requirements, or, you know, the people who draft the legalese fucking, you know, terms of service. Developers want to make the best game possible. That's just the way it's going to be.
Well, speaking of Denuvo, the new Dragon Age is going to launch without Denuvo.
Well, that's fucking at least, you know, one bonus to that game.
Yeah, I'm still not sure about it, but what is that latch? Dragon Age Vanguard release date. There we go. Launches on the 31st. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it launches in a week and a half. A little over a week and a half.
I don't know. I think people are going to be mixed about it. You know, and I might actually be. My gosh, the yawns are catching up to me. I'm sorry. I might be in the camp of kind of on the fence on getting it.
I've got news for that. So
what?
Once it eventually comes to the standard version of EA Play, Game Pass Ultimate and PC Game Pass users will be able to play it on Xbox or PC since EA Play is included with those tiers.
Right, but you gotta fucking put on you gotta download the fucking EA Play app bullshit.
Yeah, I'm gonna wait for the review, and then probably I'm not gonna get it day one. But probably the first or second, depending on the reviews, I'll probably check it out.
Yeah, it's one of those things, you know. I've got plenty of other games I could play, and honestly, there's been kind of no hype for me for this, you know, for this Dragon Age, mainly because just like yourself, Justin. I enjoyed the first Dragon Age, Dragon Age Origins, and pretty much everyone after that has gone further and further away from that.
They haven't made a great game since Mass Effect 3. I know that people like Mass Effect 2 better. I will agree, but Mass Effect 3 is no slouch either.
Mm-hmm.
And that came out more than 10 years ago, I think.
Oh, yeah. At least. Easily.
It's a different company now, so that's I gotta shit, get I was the nostalgia living
with Jason when I was playing that game.
Yeah, I gotta get the nostalgia eyes, you know, the memories away from just associating BioWare with fun because they just haven't done anything fun in a while.
Yeah,
something that is fun and something I stopped playing because of a pretty bad quest bug. Fallout London. Just released 1.02. So for you guys, not the fans of the show, but for you guys, if you look hard enough, you can find the Google Doc. There's over 1,500 line items of fixes on that.
Jeez.
It is a massive patch. And they are saying right now that this mod should be solid as a rock. So it'll make a massive difference for players. So I'm interested. I don't know if it's going to fuck up my game or not, but. When I'm not in the middle of doing a bunch of other things, I'll probably download and install that patch. And if you look at the patch notes, they're already starting on 1.03. And at the very top of that, there's new content with question marks.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
They're just going to continue making game.
Yeah. It's had over 1 million downloads.
Yeah.
It's the biggest mod that we've seen in a while. There was a preview that I highly suggest you check out for Subnautica 2. It looks like more Subnautica. I guess it's in a new place. It's set to be released in early access next year. So that's something to look forward to, because Subnautica in Early Access actually was pretty good, and then it got the full-throated game, and it actually ended up being great. One of my favorite games of all time, honestly. I really like Subnautica.
And considering I have I have some thalassophobia, that game is
Fear of Drowning?
Equal parts survival game and fucking like horror game to me. Like, the deeper you go and the more shit just like you can't really fucking like, yeah, the deeper you go, the more stressed I was.
Yeah, they basically said the video that's on there looks very Cthulhu.
Oh boy, that's just wonderful.
I'm pretty cool with it.
I can't wait. This is great.
Something you guys may not have known, God of War had a TV series that was set to be released by Sony Pictures and Amazon, and they started over. So they got rid of, I guess, the showrunner and producers left the show.
Holy shit.
So Sony and Amazon Pictures is apparently going to hire entirely new writers for the series.
Wow.
So that's just starting over from scratch.
That's nuts.
Yeah, it's been in development for 2 years. So they're just like, I guess it wasn't that good. But that is pretty big.
Is huge.
Yeah.
Yeah, just 2 years of work, just completely in the trash.
Flushed. That's amazing.
But you know, that happens with playing TV series all the time. Like,
we just don't hear about it, probably.
You just don't hear about it with series that aren't based off of, you know, big franchises like God of War.
So, I know you guys like, or at least you did, Rusty, like Space Marine 2. And at some point, we should try some of that multiplayer. That'd be fun.
Brother. I understand, brother.
That game was pretty big, right? It's 75 gigs. There's a 4K texture pack you can download for it. Take a wild guess at how big that is.
69 gigs.
More.
124.
So the total with that installed, it's say, what would that be? It puts the total up to 160 gigs. The base game, 75 gigs. It's bigger than the base game.
Holy crap.
It's free. It's free.
You know what else is not free, though?
Hard drive space.
Hard drive space. Hard drive space is at a premium right now.
Yeah, it's an 85 gig patch.
Holy fuck. I don't even play in 4K. This is not even going to be installed.
No, I uninstall stuff as I finish stuff, so I actually have it uninstalled, but I would reinstall it if I was going to play it again.
Yeah. So, that is a nutty patch, but it's cool that they have the 4K textures available for people who, have more hard drive space than they know what to do with. Holy crap. But yeah. Goddamn. I was looking at, like, I'm not big on the multiplayer, like the PvP multiplayer of that game. I would only really enjoy, like, the
co-op
stories.
Yeah, the co-op stories and the PvE multiplayer stuff where you earn stuff to get better gear.
Right. It might be okay. It's just, so the thing about Space Marine 2 for me was the game felt, or the game was enjoyable. Like, the story was enjoyable. It was, the set pieces that they have you go into, those were like spot on 40K, right? That's exactly the grim dark. No, not everybody fucking, not everybody lives, right? There's a lot of death, around you. The problem I had with that game was that the weapons kind of felt ho-hum, except for the melee weapons. The melee weapons felt really good, but all of the bolters were kind of ho-hum, and a lot of the enemy types didn't resonate super well with me. I enjoyed it. It's a good game, but it's also one of those experiences where, like, do I really want to, like, continue playing this after the story?
I would say yes.
I mean, I'm kind of on the fence on that, because, on the other hand, I play through, Diablo Vessel of Hatred, the expansions, relatively like medium length. It's not like as big as the base game, right? It's just, it's an extra, an extra set of, quests. But after that, I feel like I'm getting more enjoyment after, after the story, like there's more shit to do. So, I don't know. I think my mileage would be, super limited on Space Marine 2, even doing the co-op stuff. Like, there's, for me, I don't want to, I would do all of the co-op missions once just to play them. And then I don't think I would do the horde mode, because all of that shit is just cosmetic and I don't need to dress my fucking Marine.
No, you unlock weapons and stuff like that too, though.
But,
and modifications and roles. It's very Diablo-like in that way.
I don't know, man. It's... I don't... Yeah. I'd give it a try, but I don't... I'm not 100% sold that I would actually enjoy it.
Maybe during, like, Christmas season when things are slowed.
Well, there's going to be a period of time where I'm not necessarily laid up, but I can't really do anything. So there's, there's going to be some experimentation with games that, I haven't gotten to yet, or, need to go back to. So for sure, we'll give it a go then. But, there's lots of fucking game, man. Lots of game out there that I haven't even touched Space Truckers, and you enjoy the fuck out of that game. I haven't touched it yet. I've downloaded, but I haven't sat down and played it, because I've been just having too much fun with other games.
Speaking of something that's not fun,
not
fun. So there is a Windows 11 update that optimizes how fast you access your memory, right? There's a 24 hertz update, but very specifically, Western Digital SSD, specifically the SN770 and the SN580. I have the 770, by the way.
Oh, boy.
Do BSOD.
Now, oh, no.
Yeah. So, if you're having any issues with your PC, and you have an SN770 or an SN580, just look at your device manager and look, right?
Me happy that both mine are Samsung and
It's the first
team group.
Yeah, it's the first NVMe that I bought, but it just doesn't like the 24 hertz update for some reason. So I'm not on Windows 11 still, so I guess I'm not going to be until this works.
Oh well, Windows 11's kind of. Man, that's a mixed bag, really. I wasn't even getting the most out of my processor until I upgraded to the out of band, the the experimental build, and you know, I haven't had much of a problem since then. But and yeah, I can't.
It's been out for like 3 years or 4 years, right?
I mean, a lot of IT teams, had put off going to Windows 11 for a while.
Oh, I still haven't. I want to make sure it's bulletproof before I upgrade.
Well, yeah, I mean, there's...
But support for Windows 10, I think, ends this time next year.
Yeah, and that's the thing. The IT teams were waiting for, like, that deadline. Because if they've already got, security locked down for Windows 10, why would they want to start back over with Windows 11? And that's kind of where I was at, but we were able to get a vetted build of Windows 11 at work. So it's like, hey, we're going to let this go through now. And everybody upgraded to Windows 11 almost overnight. And then you, oh my gosh, you haven't seen it, Justin, but Windows 11, moves the taskbar to the middle of the screen.
Wait, what?
Yeah. You can set it to go back to the left, so it defaults left, but the taskbar for Windows 11 is by default in the middle of the screen, kind of like Apple.
Wait, I don't even understand what's like in the middle of everything you're viewing?
No, no. In the middle bottom of your taskbar. So
I see what you're saying.
Instead of the Windows logo being in the bottom left corner, it's near the middle of your screen.
Gotcha.
And just that change, that one change alone blew people's minds. They're like, what the fuck happened to my taskbar? Oh my God. Coming from an IT perspective, just about everything with Windows, Windows 11 is, it's a user/IT nightmare. So remember when they said Windows 10 was the last Windows that you would have to download, and then Windows 11 became a thing?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Windows 12 is coming. So, hold on to your butts.
Well, I actually don't have anything else.
All right, guys. Well, then with that, find us at tiltcast.com. Find us on Facebook and twitter.com/tiltcast. Our YouTube channel is youtube.com/realtiltcast, and search for us on iTunes and Spotify. Subscribe.
Find friends of the show. You've got For the Love of Gaming. You've got Picking Up the Pixels or the Pupcast and TVGP.TV. They do fantastic things and also will probably be playing Dragon Age. With that, is the end of the show.
All right. Peace.